Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and shout outs to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Our super producer and host, Dave Shepard, he's holding it down for us in New York City. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. Thank you to everybody locked in to the first 2 hours of the show, because I get started every single weeknight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, SiriusXM Channel 158, CBSSportsRadio.com. You can ask a smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. And much love to everybody tuned in, locked in on our many CBS Sports Radio affiliates. We had a doubleheader tonight. Two for the price of one. Monday Night Football. And I think we have a couple more of these games, two Monday night games on one night. First of all, let me get this one out of here. The first Monday Night Football game, it sucked, okay? The Carolina Panthers hosted the New Orleans Saints tonight. This game was ugly. Come on now. The people in Carolina decided to get up and leave before the game was done. The Saints beat the Panthers 20-17. The game, or I should say the score, not indicative of what the game actually looked like. This was one of those field goal fests. We had two late touchdowns by the Saints, and then we had Bryce Young, who showed a little bit of life, pulling the score a little closer, a two-point conversion. He connected with Adam Thielen for a score, then a two-point conversion. But at that point, with about a minute left in the game, a lot of the fans in Bank of America in North Carolina and Charlotte, they already left. And so the Saints are now 2-0, and to the shock of no one, the Carolina Panthers are 0-2 on the season. And this is just a learning experience for Bryce Young. So we'll talk about that game, talk about that matchup. Their head coach, after the game, Frank Reich, came up and had some surprising words about what the Carolina Panthers could look like. And I had to scratch my head. He's just like, oh, yeah, we're a few scores away from, you know, scoring like 30. I'm like, yeah, man, but almost doesn't count. That game sucked. Meanwhile, and not too long ago, we had a damn good game. Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, a back-and-forth type game. But Pittsburgh ultimately comes out on top because of their defense. And Pittsburgh beats Cleveland 26-22. A few points to make here in this game. Early in the second quarter, just absolutely terrible. Nick Chubb, one of the best running backs in the entire NFL. This guy is a bell cow. He has been a bell cow since he stopped sharing the ball with Kareem Hunt a few seasons ago. You give Nick Chubb the ball and he plays all season, you're going to get about 1,500 to 1,600-plus yards on the ground. And he's going to pick up yardage every time he touches the ball. Unfortunately, he was hit. Minka Fitzpatrick tried to get him low, not dirty, but tried to get him in the thigh, caught him directly in his knee. Nick Chubb, this man's knee bent at a 90-degree angle inward. His leg made the letter L in the wrong direction. I want you to take a listen to this. Oh, man, this was a terrible injury. This is courtesy of the Browns Radio Network.
Browns first and goal at their own 8. Chubb gets the handoff up the middle, and he gets inside the 5 and wrestled down at the 3-yard line. Demonte KZ with the hit, and he has the football. And the bad news is that Nick Chubb is down on the field.
Yeah, he was down. The broadcasters on ABC, ESPN, they did not want to show the replay, and for with good reason. And let me tell you, son, you don't got to be no doctor. Nobody's body's supposed to bend like that. No joint, no ligament, no bone. And not supposed to bend that direction. You ain't going to see Nick Chubb for a long time, man. He could come back next year. I have no idea. He had a similar injury without us knowing the exact prognosis. In 2015, when he was a Bulldog against Tennessee, this same knee, he dislocated his left knee, tore his MCL, PCL, LCL, and screwed up some cartilage in there. So all the best to Nick Chubb. Was carted off the field, didn't have too much of an emotion on his face. If you saw the way his knee looked, I don't know. He must have been in shock. He just expressionless. But for me, I'd have been screaming the whole damn way through. So all the best to Nick Chubb. Meanwhile, this was a damn good game. A matter of fact, you need to hear this because head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski, he's actually speaking right now to the media, and if I am correct, he mentioned Nick Chubb, and this is what he had to say after the game about him. Listen.
Nick's got a very significant knee injury, which is, you know, you feel for the person. He's a great football player, as we know, but he's an even better person, so we will support him every step along the way.
Just imagine, I'm pretty sure, everything in that man's knee is ripped up. All the best to Nick Chubb. Now, this game bookmarked a few things, but this has been bookmarked by the Steelers. There was a lot of back and forth here in the game to pretty much open things up from the get-go, right out of the gate. Alex Highsmith was able to pick off Deshaun Watson on a tip, okay? I think Bryant got his hands, fingertips on the ball, couldn't hold on to it, and Alex Highsmith was able to pick it up off the first play of the game, intercept it, and take it 30 yards for a touchdown. That put Pittsburgh on the board immediately, and I want you to take a listen to that play right now, courtesy of who? Here, Westwood One.
It's Watson in the gun from his 25, first down and 10. Looks at a four-man front. There's the shotgun snap. Three-step drop goes. And the ball deflected. And on the ricochet, it is intercepted. Picked off by Highsmith down the sideline. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. A pick six for the Steelers on the first play of the game.
You hear Kevin Harlan. Nobody can be as excited about anything but Kevin Harlan. And so right out of the gate, the first play of the game, Pittsburgh goes up 7-0. The Browns are able to get a field goal onto the board in the first quarter, and then we move on to the second. The Cleveland Browns continue to put some points up. Jerome Ford able to haul in a touchdown from Deshaun Watson, and then they get a two-point conversion. Take a listen to this one. This is courtesy of the Browns Radio Network.
Watson with a quick snap. He rolls right. He keeps the play alive. He throws it to Jerome Ford, who's coming for Chubb for the touchdown. And amidst the misery of losing their Pro Bowl running back, his replacement has scored the first touchdown for the Browns tonight.
I told you this was a back-and-forth game. The Steelers were able to put a field goal up on a board. Cleveland led 11-10, and Kenny Pickett, who I'm not a fan of. Sorry, I'm not a fan of Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett tonight finished with 222 yards passing, a touchdown, and an interception. But if you want to hear the touchdown, this is what got them back into the game, and it didn't just get them back into the game. Damn it, it gave them the lead. you can go ahead and thank George Pickens. 71-yard touchdown pass in the second quarter. This is courtesy of the Steelers Radio Network.
Pickett goes shotgun from his 29, slot to his wide side left. Gets the snap, fakes the handoff, throws that pass over the middle on a dead run. George Pickett, he's at the 40, 35, a man falls down, 25, 20, 15, 10, Pickett, touchdown. 71 yards for George Pickens from Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, we go into halftime. Pittsburgh leads now 14-16. The Browns were able to put a field goal up on the board with about 20 seconds left in the first half. 16-11, Pittsburgh led over Cleveland. They were able to kick a field goal in the third. Pittsburgh led 19-14. And then, the Browns were able to answer back. Pierre Strong, still out there, handling the load because there is no Nick Chubb. He might have to do this for a long time. He had a 1-yard touchdown run. It put the Browns up. Listen to this, Browns Radio Network.
Strong remains in the backfield. Watson is under center. Sends Bryan in motion here on second and goal. Sends him back in motion to the left side. It's Strong. He's got a shot, and he is into the end zone for a touchdown.
That put them ahead at that point. 22-19. That was in the third quarter. 22-19. Cleveland now led Pittsburgh. There is no Nick Chubb to lean on. Pierre Strong is able to run it in or be on the receiving end. They're able to go out there and get some scores. And so we get to the fourth quarter. It looks like Cleveland is going to hang on. They might put up some insurance points, etc. It looks like Pittsburgh is in for the you-know-what, the L. But I told you the game started. Alex Highsmith able to pick the ball off on a tip, run it in for a touchdown. And so how appropriate here at the end of the game, about 7 minutes left in the game, Deshaun Watson has the rock. He goes back. He goes to throw. Alex Highsmith says, no, thank you. Smacks the ball out of his hand. Fumble. You want to know who picks it up? Some guy named TJ Watt. And you want to know what he did with it? Here, listen to the Steelers Radio Network.
Watson under center. Steelers showing blitz. Long count. Play action fake. He's back.
There's and the ball is out, and he's going to pick it up. And that's TJ Watt running for the end zone. Steelers with the touchdown. The strip by Highsmith and his bookend buddy Watt scooped and scored, and the Steelers take the lead, their second defensive touchdown of this game.
They open the game with a defensive touchdown, and they basically closed out the game with a defensive touchdown. Now listen to this. That was 7 minutes at that point left in the game. Okay, 7 minutes. The Browns got the ball back, obviously, because Pittsburgh just scored, and they had to punt the ball. The Browns had to punt the ball. And then Pittsburgh got the ball back, and they were pretty much stopped by the Browns. The Browns' defense coming to work. Pittsburgh had to punt the ball. And so now here we are, about the two-minute warning of the game. Cleveland has the ball back. They are trailing 22-26. You're expecting Deshaun Watson, the dude who you gave all that money to help take you down the field. And it came down to fourth down. And unfortunately for the Browns and all of their fans, they might say that they got robbed at the end of the game. I want you to take a listen to this final call from the Steelers Radio Network, and then I will explain.
Shotgun for Watson on fourth and 10. His team down four. He empties the set. The Steelers bring four. Pocket collapses. He throws it down the field. Out of bounds. Incomplete. What a great job by Joey Porter Jr. on Donovan Peoples-Jones. Ball over on downs. Pittsburgh has it with a minute left, and they've got the lead.
And that was pretty much all that she wrote. Now, that was a very nice call there from the Steelers Radio Network. But I must tell you this. Yes, Joey Porter played good defense on Donovan Peoples-Jones because Joey Porter Jr. had one hand and one end of his shoulder pads, and then he had firmly another hand on one end of the shoulder pads. He was basically pass interference. You might as well just call it holding, pass interference, grabbing, hugging, loving. This was nuts. Kevin Stefanski threw his hands up in the air. Everybody was looking, where is the call? Where's the penalty? There was no penalty. And so you got a lot of Browns fans who are just as upset at the referees as they maybe are or more than at the offense. And so as an overall, Pittsburgh holds on. 26-22, they beat the Cleveland Browns in Pittsburgh. Deshaun Watson, 22 of 40 passes completed, 235 yards. He throws that one touchdown. He has an interception. He was sacked 6 times tonight. Deshaun Watson had nowhere to run, had nowhere to breathe. He was sacked 6 times. And as an overall, the Cleveland Browns turned the ball over 4 times. They lost 4 fumbles. Deshaun Watson had that interception. And as I told you, 2 of those turnovers at the beginning of the game with Alex Highsmith running it in, an interception, and at the end, T.J. Watt picking a fumble up, running that in for a touchdown to give them the lead. 2 massive plays that gave Pittsburgh the victory. After the game, Alex Highsmith, he spoke on ESPN after the victory with Scott Van Pelt, and this is what he had to say.
Be able to come out and start fast like that is huge for us. The crowd was, you know, they were juiced from the beginning. Just that first play, I think, really just set the tone for the game. And so I think we were able to just, you know, feed off of that. And just it's always important for us to start fast. You know, last week we didn't start fast. We didn't get the result that we wanted. This week we started fast and we ended up getting that result that we didn't want. And that's a victory. So all glory to God for this victory.
Alex, I was just talking to Joe and Troy, and I called it a DNA win. And what I mean by that is the identity, the culture of Pittsburgh Steeler football has been and forever will be your side of the ball. And Coach Tomlin, I imagine, leans into that this week. When he said he wanted to get back to Steeler football, what sense did you have of an obligation that it's on us to provide that?
Yeah, I think just coming out and setting the tone, being physical. I think we were able to do that tonight. You know, there's definitely plays. You know, there's still 22 points on the board, so there's a lot of ways that we can get better. We're going to get back at that, tomorrow, Wednesday, this week. But, just coming out and setting the tone, I think, is so important to be a great defense. You know, everyone's got to play fast, play physical, communicate, and we did that tonight. You know, we weren't perfect. We were far from it. And we're gonna get better, get back to the film room, and improve each week. And, you know, next week is, our next step.
Yeah, so in reference to the last game, it was going to be tough going anyway. The 49ers smashed them 30-7. And the next time we'll see the Steelers, damn it, we'll see them Sunday night against the Raiders in Vegas. And the Raiders, they just got smashed by the Buffalo Bills. Ugly. 38-10. So you don't have to wait long to see the Pittsburgh Steelers back out there on the field. And for the Browns, yeah, they got to go out there and lick their wounds. What we're going to do is take a break on the other side. Well, we're going to take a break, and on the other side, we're going to talk more about this this pass interference that was not called. We're going to talk about the game. I know there's going to be a lot of people who want to go out there and just blame the refs. I'm not going to be one of them. We'll also hear from Mike Tomlin as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We had a good Monday Night Football game to watch. That happens to be the Browns and the Steelers. Steelers coming out on top. And then we had a field goal fest that got a little interesting late in the game. And that is the New Orleans Saints coming out on top of the Carolina Panthers. The final score there, 20-17. We're going to talk about that game as well. We're here for more of the coaches, the players, etc.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
But I'm going to get off the radio. I just want to let you know I commend you for what you're doing, JR. That's great what you're up there doing, the speaking engagements and talking to these college students and stuff. We need more of that.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I told you we had two Monday Night Football games. The first one, field goal fest. Not all that exciting. You got a little bit, maybe a hope for confidence into the future with Bryce Young able to take them down the field for a touchdown when the game was pretty much done. New Orleans wins 20-17 in Carolina. New Orleans improves to 2-0. Carolina falls to 0-2. And, yep, this is what the Panthers should get used to a lot. As the season goes on, they head up to Seattle next. Not going to be any easier for Bryce Young trying to get plays out of the huddle up in Seattle. And then right before the break, we talked about the late game, if you want to call it that, for Monday Night Football. As tonight, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Cleveland Browns 26-22. The game pretty much bookend by two impactful scores and touchdowns by the Steelers defense. Alex Highsmith picking off a tip pass to open up the game, the very first play of the game. He runs that in for a touchdown. And late in the game, about 6-7 minutes left, Alex Highsmith knocks the ball out of the hands of Deshaun Watson. It's scooped up by T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt then able to run it in for what would be the game-winning score. Pittsburgh wins 26-22. A little bit of controversy here. At the end of the game, you know, Cleveland trying to set up for its own game-winning score as the clock is pretty much, I don't want to say expiring, but there's less than a minute left in the game now. It was a fourth down, fourth and 10. Deshaun Watson throws the ball down the sidelines, and unfortunately, it was called off, nothing. But it should have been a pass interference as Joey Porter Jr., yes, Joey Porter's son, had a whole hell of a lot of jersey and shoulder pads of Donovan Peoples-Jones. The referee, he ain't say nothing. He looked at it, and I guess he had a hot date tonight, and he decided to call the game after that, and that's all she wrote. Pittsburgh got the ball back, went into their victory formation, and everybody went home. Both of these teams are now, they've evened their records up. Pittsburgh at 1-1, Cleveland at 1-1. Mike Tomlin. He just spoke not too long ago, and he said he's happy that they got this win.
Man, 1-0 in the AFC North, man, we don't take that for granted. We're appreciative. I'm appreciative of the effort of the men. I'm appreciative of their fight, their no-blink approach. Obviously, it wasn't easy tonight, but we didn't expect it to be. It's kind of a signature of AFC North ball, and particularly these two teams.
Yeah. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Also, if you're just tuning in, Nick Chubb, he's done for the season. He got hit in his knee by Minkah Fitzpatrick. Minkah Fitzpatrick went to go put, you know, drop a shoulder pad into your thigh and tackle you low. He went too low, and he got his knee. Wasn't dirty by any stretch of the imagination, but he went straight into the side of his knee, and that man's knee did an L. It hit a 90-degree angle the wrong direction from the side. So don't expect to see Nick Chubb. I'm sure over the next day, 2 days, we're going to find out the extent of his knee injury. But, man, the way his leg and his body bent, you ain't going to see this man play for a while, man. 855-212-4CBS. Seth is here from Chicago. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Seth?
JR, what's going on, brother?
How are you? What's up?
I ain't doing too good, bro. You know, I got to talk to you about my guy in Chicago, man. Before you talking about you don't like Pickett. Whew. And, you know, I've been a big, huge Justin Fields supporter. When I say training camp, I've been there, preseason games. And I'm even supposed to be – I'm heading out to Kansas City this weekend. I leave Saturday morning. I'm thinking about returning my damn tickets and getting my refund on my Airbnb. I'm torn, bro. I don't know whether I need to divorce the team, divorce my wife. She in the background, we watching the game. She, man, I know you're mad, or she asked me, she's like, are you mad? Duh. you watching the game with me. So well, I was like, there's a lot consider, going on.
If you have to consider divorcing your wife, maybe you should have divorced the Bears first.
Yeah, I was just playing about my wife, man. I was just making a joke, but I love my lady, man. But, nah, man, it's just been frustrating, man. As much as I've been defending Fields, man, you know, they especially now that they got means popping up, a wide receiver's wide open going to the end zone, and he just staring at them and ain't even releasing the ball, man. It's frustrating, man. I don't know which way to turn.
Yeah, no, he looks bad right now. The whole team looks bad right now. It looks like they're on their way to another, you know, a high draft pick. Maybe they end up number one again.
Hey, at this point, I take it, man, because Caleb Williams, he going to make it a little bit more exciting, man. He going to make a way, I believe, a lot more better than Fields. He'll release the ball a lot faster, man.
He can actually throw the ball, and I don't expect it to be any better because the Bears have the Chiefs up next. So good luck with that set, okay?
Yes, sir, man. I guess I'll look at it with a 60 to what, 10 victory for Kansas City.
Hey, whatever you want to call it, it's going to be a lot to a little, okay?
All right, for sure, bro. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you, Seth, for calling from Chicago. 855-212-4CBS. Bill is here from Portland. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, good night, my friend. You're doing great on this show, man. I really, really love your show there. I just wanted to chime in on that Pittsburgh game. First off, man, you know, Nick Chubb, I watched him. I'm a Tennessee Volunteers fan, and he got injured in a game against Tennessee back in 2015 on the first series of the game. And, you know, he ended up coming back from that, and let's all hope he can come back from this because he's a hell of a player. As for the game, man, I'll tell you, I'm 55, and I got to see, like, you know, I was a kid, but I got to see the steel curtain. And that's kind of what I thought I was seeing. I was expecting to look up and see Franco Harris running down the field the way the boys were hitting tonight. But on that last call, I'll say this. You're right in terms of the letter of the law. You know, he was loving him up, mugging him up, whatever. You know, I mean, he had plenty of jersey. But I think the ball was far enough out of bounds that maybe the refs looked at it and said, We don't want to make that call. I think they're wrong. I think they should have. I think at that point you let them play on because he was again in the spirit of the penalty. He was being held. He was being held. He was being interfered with, and they should have made the call. I think they're reluctant to do it when the game's kind of in the balance. But it really did end up deciding the game.
Well, so, I mean,
yeah,
there was a whole
hell of a lot. I agree, man. I think they should have called it, but I understand why they didn't because I think Deshaun put the ball far enough out
more.
Of bounds that they were looking at it like maybe it was uncatchable.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bill, for calling from Portland. There's a whole hell of a lot more that decided that game. You know, Nick Chubb going down with that catastrophic knee injury certainly played a part. The Steelers' defense was more of a factor than the end game or that last play. People always want to focus in on the last thing that they saw. And that would be the one justification. That was the one thing that I looked at on that no call and said to myself, okay, maybe the ref who was standing right on the sideline, found that ball to be too far out. And he had the best perspective, not me on television. But I know this much. We see enough circus catches and guys holding or keeping 2 feet in. Could he have caught that ball? I don't know. If he wasn't being held, would he have a better angle on it at that point in time? I don't know. It's tough. This much we do know. He was holding the living hell out of that guy. I'd be very interested to see, you know, what any of the refs might say, especially the one, the judge who was standing right on the line. It's a tough, tough L for Cleveland, especially the way the game started. Interception for a touchdown, and pretty much the last score of the game, the way Pittsburgh ended it. T.J. Watt picking up a fumble and that running it in as well. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. We got Wade calling from Atlanta. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, how you doing tonight?
Very well. What's up?
Well, I'm trying to get over that crazy ending of the game. And also want to say, man, I haven't heard you here on the radio dial here in Atlanta since I can remember. So I'm glad to be hearing you tonight. I had to call in to talk to you again.
You haven't heard on what, 92.9?
Yes, sir. That's the one.
Where have you been? I'm here all the time. I've been here for 3 years.
I know. I hear you. I always listen in, but for some reason they've been playing either Friday night high school or a soccer game or some other kind of late night show they got.
Yeah, it's busy. But I'm here. But go ahead. I'm here.
I know. I always listen on my phone if you ain't on the radio. But anyway, I just wanted to say, man, I'm a Georgia Tech fan, and so Nick Chubb ran all over us for his few years, but I just got to put my thoughts out to him. That was horrible to see, but so my thoughts go out to him. But concerning Deshaun Watson, man, the fact that the Falcons were basically all they needed was his signature to go on the contract they offered, or not, I don't know what contract, but the fact he was almost a Falcon before the Browns swooped in and offered $230. I mean, just seeing all the additions the Falcons made in the offseason and all the money that was thrown at Watson and his performance, I mean, it's just – and I was never for it anyway, the Falcons trying to get Watson. So just the fact that everything is working out the way it is, I just can't – it's really – I don't want to say blessing, but I'm just very thankful that not go through.
It's a catch-22 because the Falcons are certainly built right now. And Desmond Ridder, you know, the jury is still out on him. It's going to be out until we see it's more of a sample size throughout the course of the season. But the Falcons have been able to build out the rest of their team, and they're hoping on Desmond Ridder. And meanwhile, the Browns have invested so much money into Deshaun Watson, and here, even in the second game of the season, not the best. 11 touchdowns and 9 turnovers and 8 starts with Cleveland. He was sacked 6 times today, and so he is still trying to really get into a groove here with the Browns. We know he has more guaranteed money than anybody throwing a rock around. Hey, Wade, thank you for calling from Atlanta, man. Appreciate you.
Man, thanks, JR. I appreciate it.
No doubt about it. And speaking of Deshaun Watson, he is speaking to the media right now. I'm pretty sure there's I wonder if he's going to say anything about that call. I doubt it. But he's running out some probably excuses about how we need to perform better and we turn the ball over and it's my fault. We'll hear from him when he finishes and wraps up talking. Miles Garrett has also spoken as well. We'll hear from Miles Garrett. I'm going to get some more of your calls. We'll talk and hear from the Saints and then also the Panthers now that game concluded a while ago.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Just want to commend you, man, kind of what the other caller said, patience of a saint. And, man, I just respect you so much how professional you are. And, man, just, you know, mature. You know, I mean, you're getting attacked, but yet you took the high ground. You know, just stay professional and stay being a good man. So I just commend you on that.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
The JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Pittsburgh Steelers come out on top of the Cleveland Browns 26-22 in the first game for Monday Night Football. Yeah, we had a doubleheader or two for the price of one of the Saints. They beat Carolina 20-17. Really didn't have any action until late in this game. The Saints able to put up 2 scores that they punched in via the rush, and then shout-outs to Bryce Young showing a little bit of life, showing a little bit of hope. A 75-yard drive. He finds Adam Thielen on a touchdown to pull the score a little bit closer. 2-point conversion makes it 20-17. But too little, too late. And Frank Reich, after the game, he said, damn it, If we keep this up, if we keep growing, we can be a good offense. Listen to this.
Seen this before. It's not that far away. It looks bad, but really, I don't believe it's that far away. You know, we make a couple plays here. We here and there, and next thing you know, you got 28, 30 points. I know that's true. I know we have the players and the coaches to do it. I have zero doubt about that. It's just we have to execute better on offense.
Okay. Let me know when it happens. Bryce Young tonight, 153 yards passing and that one touchdown at the end of the game. Yeah, the rookie introduction into the NFL is hitting him hard. Meanwhile, Derek Carr still getting acclimated to life as a Saint. He ain't have a great game himself. Pretty bad, if you ask me. He didn't get going until later on. Missed some plays, had an interception. 228 yards passing for Derek Carr to go along with an interception. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We got a lot of folks still feeling away about the Steelers' victory tonight over Cleveland. Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines up. We got John calling from Boise. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, John.
Hey, so yeah, the final play could have been pass interference called or whatever. But a big thing for me tonight was, you know, Deshaun Watson and those two face mask penalties. You're the quarterback, you know, all eyes are on you to keep you safe. There are more people looking at you in the game. And he goes and gets those two face mask penalties and sets him back 30 yards total. You know, and I just don't get that from him tonight.
Well, I think outside of the face mask, one in a general sense, didn't appear to be in. I mean, he's the quarterback. He's trying to run away. I don't think in the process of it, he's trying to get his hands stuck in a guy's face mask. And especially the one where he was going towards out of bounds, it's one of those things where it happens. It's momentum. And so I'm not going to knock him for that. There was actually a play in the game as well where he was ripped and turned around by his face mask. So, I mean, those plays can be very tricky, and they don't always go in your favor. Sometimes you can't do a damn thing about them.
They can, and it sucks for the Browns losing Chubb tonight. But I think, you know, they looked overall pretty good, minus the few errant throws by Watson. So I don't think Browns fans really have anything to, you know, too many negatives to take away from this tonight.
Well, I mean, Nick Chubb being gone, I mean, that guy's a beast.
It is. He's the best running back in the league. He is, but that backup came in, that 70-yard touchdown run, or not, down at the one-yard line, but that was a great run.
Man, we talking about one game, one play, all right? I think this guy's few and far in between, and I know right now the NFL, the running backs are all disposable, but that's not to say that Ford or Strong are going to continue on just going ahead and punching things in, man. It's a big deal, a huge deal, not to have Nick Chubb. That's not to say that nobody's going to come through or that a committee is not going to pick up the slack. But from a morale perspective, just from a production standpoint, find me a running back who's going to get the ball and say, yeah, I'm going to average, you know, 5.5 yards per carry. Someone who understands that is Myles Garrett, because Myles Garrett spoke to the media not too long ago. And this is what Myles Garrett had to say about losing Nick Chubb.
It's our brother. That's my brother. And I've been together for a long time. And, I mean, it's a blow for the whole team. And we don't want his injury to be in vain. You know, we got to push on. You know, that's what he wants us to do. And if he had any choice in the matter, that's what he would do. So we just got to continue to fight and use it as motivation.
Good luck for a Browns team that's now 1-1. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. John is here from Texas. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, John.
Well, hello, JR. Good evening to you.
To you as well. What's up?
All right. And it's John from beautiful Corpus Christi. yeah, it's a nice game, of course. Nick Chubb, reports already in. He tore every LCL possible, ACL, MCL, tendons. This could be career-threatening.
Could be, yeah.
He's in bad shape, but I wish him the best, Mike. That no call there at the end, you just can't understand some of these things. Back to the playoff game between the Cowboys and the Vikings, Drew Pearson, that 50-yarder from Staubach. You look at the replay, he clearly extended his arms, made contact with the defender to impede his progress, and then he caught the pass for the winning touchdown. Alvin Kamara, the Saints, that was probably the most brutal no-call.
You're talking about against the Rams.
Right, yeah. Ravens 49ers Super Bowl, 4th and 3. The defenders clearly has a handful of jersey of the running back from the 49ers. No call. You know, there's been so many egregious, infamous no calls.
One of our callers made the point, and it could be the only explanation that I thought of as well, was that maybe the ref thought that the ball was too far out of bounds for him to legitimately have a chance to catch it. I don't know if I go for that one. That could be the only reason why they didn't call it there. But besides that, he had a handful of them.
Yeah, I wasn't at home to watch the game. I was, doing my deliveries on the radio. So when I'm watching the replay. But again, it's just the second game of the season. It may not have any impact on, the rest of the year for either one of these
games. I'll tell you what will have an impact. And thank you, John, for calling from Texas. I got to hit the break. It's the fact that Nick Chubb, he out, he gone. And knowing that the fact that he tore this leg up already in college for the Bulldogs, good luck on a return, man. He's 27 years old. I saw that and I said, man, I don't know how these guys play football. Even the thought or the idea that could happen is enough for me. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to get to more of your calls. We're going to hear from Kenny Pickett on the other side. Deshaun Watson has spoke as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.